Hi, welcome to the Black Robe Regiment. What is it? It's an important part of our history. The Black Robe Regiment was the name the British placed on the courageous and patriotic American clergy during the founding era. The name was a backhanded reference to the black robes worn by the clergy. The British actually blamed the Black Regiment for American independence, and rightfully so. For modern historians have documented that there's not a single right asserted in the Declaration of Independence that had not been covered by the clergy prior to 1763. It seems strange to today's generation to think that the rights set forth in the Declaration of Independence were nothing more than a listing of sermon topics that had been preached from the pulpit in the two decades leading up to the American Revolution, but such was the case. Yet it was not just the British who saw the American pulpit as being largely responsible for American independence and for our form of government. Our own leaders agreed. For example, John Adams rejoiced that, as he said, quote, "the pulpits have thundered," and he specifically identified several ministers that he believed were among those most responsible for America's independence and the establishment of many civil and religious liberties. The American clergy provided courageous leadership in times of difficulty, leading from out front, whether it was taking troops into battle or ministering to the wounded, or distributing news flashes throughout the community, or writing state constitutions and governing documents, or founding colleges and universities, or even serving in Congress and state legislatures. Ministers were at the forefront of everything that happened. In short, the American clergy were long the faithful exponents of the fullness of God's Word, applying its principles to every aspect of life, whether spiritual or temporal, whether related to eternal life with Christ or to issues such as taxes, education, public policies, good government, military, any other issue that the Bible addressed.
Wow, we had to cut that short, but that's a little bit of history of the Black Robe Regiment. That's why I'm wearing the black robe. There's a group of ministers throughout the country that have signed up for joining a group called the Black Robe Regiment. I don't think they're wearing black robes, but if you know me, I always kind of cross the line a little bit, so I thought it means you wear the black robe, but no, actually, I'm wearing it because I feel in my heart God wants me to, and that I can use this as an opportunity to remind people that we have a history. The church has a history in this country of being outspoken about what is going on in our culture and not being silenced. And so what I'm going to do, at least for the next several months until I hear otherwise in my spirit, I'm going to continue wearing the black robe. And what I've decided to do is on the first Sunday of every month, which is this Sunday, I'm going to talk about specifically political issues, issues that we're dealing with in the news, and try to give you some biblical perspective. So today, though, I'm going to really cross the line, because today I'm going to break the law. This is called an act of civil disobedience. There is a difference. You can have violent disobedience, but this is civil. And I've been working with a law firm, so I had them look over my sermon notes. This is called the Alliance Defending Freedom, a large group of lawyers out of Arizona who are encouraging pastors to start speaking up. And in particular, we're challenging what is known as the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment is an amendment that was added to the IRS code back in 1954 that literally silenced the churches from that day on. Prior to 1954, there was no regulation for churches. They could speak about politicians, they could endorse candidates, they could address issues from the pulpit, but since 1954, we've been silenced. And so we're hoping to challenge that, and in doing so, maybe see it go to court and see it overthrown. So that's where I'm heading today. The law, according to the law right now, a pastor cannot endorse a candidate from the pulpit. Well, but today I am. Today I'm going to tell you why I think voting for Donald Trump is a good, moral, and godly choice. My hope is I can help you, because I know many of you are struggling with this. It's not a light issue. I say the word political, but I really don't mean it to be political. I really mean I'm going to talk to you about some spiritual things. And this is the important part. We have to look at everything through the lens of God. How can we see what God wants in this? And being involved in our culture, because we call it political, we get pushed off to the side. But it isn't political. It really is spiritual. And so my hope and my prayer is that I can help you this morning. So before we start, though, I'm, There's so many passages of scriptures I wanted to cover, but I just felt like this morning, and for the next several months, we'll look at different scriptures, but I just want to look at one this morning. It's found in the book of Isaiah, and this is going to be the theme of why I'm speaking out this morning. In Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet Isaiah chapter 5, he was speaking to the nation of Israel. Verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We are living in a time right now that this is happening. This is happening right in front of us. And when the prophet says woe, he means woe. He means you better watch out. And if you know the story of Isaiah speaking to the nation of Israel, they didn't take him serious. And as a result, their nation was destroyed. Enemies were brought in and they were punished for it. This is a call of a prophet. And it's so very clear. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We have an election coming up in November. We have two main candidates, Hillary and Donald Trump. I know there are third-party candidates. There is Gary Johnson, Libertarian. There's, what's the other lady's name? Jill Stein, the Green Party. But listen, read up on them. They are extremely liberal. They both strongly support government funds to be used for abortion. They believe abortion is a constitutional right. They both, those third-party candidates, both believe that Christians should be forced to do business with people who make moral choices that are contrary to our Christian faith. They believe you should be forced to have to deal and do business with them. So, and the fact is, come on folks, the fact is either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, one of those two will be our president. That's where we're at right now. And we have to kind of process through this. We have to think about this. And what I see is the reason I'm voting for Donald Trump and the reason I'm not voting for Hillary has something to do with this passage. We have a lady that just finished her Democratic National Convention, and if you saw any of that, you could easily summarize the entire convention based on this. The whole premise of it was they were calling things evil and speaking about evil things and calling them good. I mean, this is absolutely shocking. She had the Mexican illegal immigrant family up on the stage and boasting about how they broke the laws of this country and how people cheered for this. Break the laws. This is, you know, we want illegal immigrants to be in this country. And then she brings up the transgenders and the homosexuals, and it's not just bringing them up, but it's saying, we want to force this on you. This is going to be your future. You're going to have to deal with this. Then she has the mothers of the African-American young people that were killed because they were being in a conflict with the police. And for sure, I readily admit there is an injustice being done to the African-American community. There's no doubt about that. But folks, think about this. To put the parents up on the stage and to call these young men and young women heroes. Heroes. These people were criminals, thugs, lawbreakers, heroes. See, that's what Isaiah was trying to say. You cannot get any farther from God than when you start calling evil good and good evil. There is a progression in sin. When you know you're sinning and you try to hide it, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is still around. You know, I mean, you know, we shouldn't hide our sins. We should bring it to the light and be forgiven. But the fact that you hide your sin, the fact that you're ashamed of your behavior is evidence that God is still with you. It crosses a line when you begin to call sin good. And then it goes farther, force it on everybody else. It's not only good, but you must accept it. This is what we're dealing with. Now, what about Donald Trump? Well, you know, let's start with some basics. At least he is endorsing what is good and calling it good. whether you like him or don't like him, at least he's not calling evil good and good evil. He is endorsing things like marriage between a man and a woman. He says, this is what I believe. At least he's speaking, this is the right stuff. Now I'm going to say something here. I've never done this before. This is really where I think maybe you might think, I think Pastor Dave's crossing a line here, but I believe this with all my heart. I believe Hillary Clinton has a demonic spirit called Jezebel. Yeah, this is why I'm talking this morning. This is not political. Now, we're not talking politics here. I'm talking about demonic influence. Some of you may not be familiar with Jezebel and what's a Jezebel spirit. Well, if you look into the book of Revelations, chapter 2, you will see the angel speaking to the church at that time, which is supposed to be in the end times of the world, he says there's a lady there who has a Jezebel spirit. Now, we don't know who that lady is. I don't really think the one in Revelations chapter 2 is Hillary, but at least it shows me a person can have a Jezebel spirit. And if you're not familiar with the story of Jezebel, look into 1 Kings chapter 18, 19, 20, 21. There's about four chapters. Jezebel was the queen of Israel up in the north part after Israel and Judah had split. Her husband was Ahab. And she was an evil, controlling, wicked queen. I mean, she was wicked. She persecuted the prophets of God, killed them. Tried to kill all of them. She promoted the idol worship of Baal, which was incredibly sensual and immoral. The lady was wicked. And I believe we're looking at a candidate who has a Jezebel spirit. And I tell you, she gets the presidency, whoa, for real, whoa. Now, I've heard people say, well, I can't in good conscience vote for the lesser of two evils. Yes, you can. I'm your pastor, and I'm telling you, you can. I'll answer to God for this. I'll answer to God for this. Yes, you can. And let me try to help you with a couple of things here, because that's what we're dealing with. First of all, I don't know why Donald Trump rose to the top of the Republican Party. I didn't vote for him in the primary. I didn't campaign for him. When it was the Ohio primary, I didn't vote for him. But I think you can vote for Donald Trump, and I believe that it can be a good moral choice. Because, in fact, we're dealing with flawed candidates. As a matter of fact, I mean, come on, let's not be too self-righteous here. Can you find me one who isn't flawed? I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's got issues. You can say, well, he's less flawed than her, or she's more flawed than him, or, you know, but we have flawed candidates. I mean, they've done things, they've made decisions. And folks, look, be straight up honest with you. I don't like Mr. Trump. I'm not voting for him because I like him. I'm not. I'm not voting for him. I'm not voting for him because I think he's a nice person. I think he's rude. I think he's obnoxious. I think he's proud. I think he's vindictive. I think he says things before he even thinks. I will say this. I think many of you, though, have got a lot of information in your head that's been fed to you by the media, which hates him. And it isn't all true. I mean, come on. The stuff they say, where's the evidence? They just blast the guy. I mean, he's got some very respectable children that he's raised. I mean, the man is reaching out to the evangelical community. And listen, by the way, unless you think I'm the only one endorsing Donald Trump, I am not. As a matter of fact, there's a man whose name is Wayne Grudem. who wrote an excellent article. I highly recommend you get this article. It's called Why Voting for Donald Trump is a Good Moral Choice. Wayne Grudem, for the last 20 years, has been the leading conservative theologian in this country. His books, Systematic Theology, are used in all seminaries. All major seminaries have been for the last 20 years. This man knows his stuff. PhD upon PhD. Wrote this excellent article. Actually, one other thing I like about Wayne Grudem is when the Vineyard Ministry was starting back in the 80s, it was Wayne Grudem who came to the aid of the Vineyard Ministry, because at the time the Vineyard Ministry was starting, people were saying, oh, it's just a cult, it's some new thing, you know, stay away. People were attacking it, saying that the theology was not biblical. Wayne Grudem wrote article after article after article saying, hey, these people are legit. The man knows his stuff. Wayne Grudem is saying you can make a good moral choice when you choose a candidate who will do the most good for the country, as opposed to choosing a candidate who will destroy this country. I mean, this is not really rocket science. What's happening is we've got people just getting hyped up about stuff here. But other religious leaders, you would recognize Dr. James Dobson has come out and fully endorsed Donald Trump. Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family. I mean, this is a solid man of God. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. I mean, you cannot get more conservative than Franklin Graham has come out to endorse him. Jerry Falwell. I mean, the list, over 200 religious leaders are standing behind this man. So it's not like no one's endorsing him. Now I read an article the other day saying, you know, Christians are crushing Wayne Grudem for this article. So I was thinking, wow, I wonder who that is. I read the list. Oh, yeah, right. All these people that don't believe the Bible is the Word of God and believe homosexuality is biblical. I mean, okay, yeah, those are the people. But the people that believe the Bible is the Word of God, conservative Christians, are standing behind this man. They're speaking out. So I understand that we have candidates that have made a lot of decisions in the past and have really done some bad things. And I'm in no way supportive of that. I mean, Donald Trump's on his third marriage, not second, third. He's admitted to things that you just go, whoa, man. But here's the thing. I'm going to finish up with a couple real quick. First of all, I want to tell you this, and I think you know it, but I just want to emphasize, if you buy into this lie that you can't vote for the lesser of two evils and you don't vote, or you vote for a third-party candidate, or you do a write-in, what you have done is put Hillary in office. That's one less vote she needs to be a Jezebel leading this country. You don't want that on your conscience. You just don't. If you have a chance to do something, do it. Is Donald Trump going to win? I have no idea. I fear for our country if he doesn't. The damage will be irreparable. It will be beyond, it will make the decisions of Barack Obama cemented into law. His executive orders will become concrete. She will affect every part of our lives: taxes, education, health care, immigration, relations with China, Russia, Israel. But I'll tell you one big issue, if you can just hold on to this one issue, the impact the next person who becomes president will have on this country will last at least 20 to 30 years. Because we have a vacancy on the Supreme Court right now. There are 4 liberal judges. There are 4 conservative judges. There's need for a ninth. They're not letting President Barack Obama pick the ninth. They're holding off till the next person gets elected. If it's Hillary, she will choose a liberal judge, and that will tilt the balance 5-4. On top of that, 3 of the liberal judges are ages 79, 80, and 83. So in the next 4 years, that pushes them up in well into the 80s. There's a real good chance whoever gets elected will fill the vacancy and pick one or two or three other judges, and they will pick younger judges who will be in their 50s, their 40s, somewhere around there, who will reign as kings for the next 30 years. I mean, we are talking about some serious... Unless you think, well, you know, the judges can't make laws. They're not supposed to, but our Supreme Court right now does make laws. All you have to do is look at the decision they handed down. June of last year, our Supreme Court handed down a decision and said that same-sex marriage is a constitutional right. By that decision, they overthrew the voting public of 31 states which had enacted a constitutional amendment to their constitution and said, we believe marriage is between man and woman. That's the only thing that we will recognize as marriage. All 31 states had their constitution thrown out by men who were not elected but appointed. So many other reasons. I don't have the time this morning, but I will tell you, pull that article down. Wayne, it's about, I think it's 20 pages. He goes item after item, tax, education, medical, and just gives you the comparison. Here's what Hillary is going to do. Here's what Donald Trump is going to do. Now, some people say, well, how do we know he's going to do it? I don't know. He may not do any of it. Well, how do you know Hillary's going to do anything? I'm pretty sure she is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she is. They have a track record. Barack Obama said, elect me president, I will spend way more than this government has. I'll put this government on bankruptcy terms. That's what he did. From what, $6 trillion to almost $20 trillion in 8 years? Debt? He does what he says. I'll force immorality on you. I'll force it down your throat. I'll make you accept it. It's like, okay, that's what he said. That's what he did. Hillary's doing the same thing, only she's going to take it up a notch. She is going to take it up a notch. And I just know, I don't want that on my conscience. So, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I encourage you, consider that. I'm going to put a sign out. It will be on my property, not the church's, yet. No, I can't. I don't think that's right now. Anyway, but I will put a sign on my property, and I'm going to tell people I'm voting for Donald Trump, and I know I'm going to get barraged by, you know, you're so idiot and stupid and he's so bad and blah, blah, blah. I say, yeah, okay, but you know what? I care about our country, and if you don't vote for him, let it be on your conscience, not mine. So let's pray somehow. God. Let's pray. God, we are sorry, God, that we've come to this place in our country that we have people extolling wickedness and calling it good. It's just shocking. I don't even want to believe it's happening, but we know it is. And we hear the cry of the prophet Isaiah, God. He warned the nation of Israel, woe unto them. Don't do that. And I hear that cry this morning, God. Lord, we know you're the one who puts people in power. You're the one who takes them out. God, I pray that you do not allow Hillary Clinton to become president of this country. You would protect us from a Jezebel spirit ruling, elected by people. God, that righteousness could prevail. The Johnson Amendment that is silencing churches, God, it could be challenged in the courts and overthrown. And that your churches throughout this land would begin to thunder again, God. Speak. Give guidance. Give direction. We commit these next, I think it's 98 days, God, before the election. We have 98 days, God. I pray that you give each of us direction and a clarity, God, about what we should do and how we should go about it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to take our offering. Man, you can feel that. You just feel that. Man. Whew. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up. us up corporately. Wake us up individually, God. Wake us up in our homes. Wake us up in our communities. Wake us up at work. God, let us be that light shining. Holy Spirit, thank you. Just take a minute. Just open your hearts up. Let the Holy Spirit of God just touch you. This is that communion that we hunger for. Song. Each Sunday, I believe that. I believe that God wants to speak to us sometimes specifically. You know, words that we share, and I think it was several months ago now that I had this word about smoking, and one of the ladies in our church here, God used it to change her life. So, Dean, if you come up here, Deanna responded to this, and I just thought maybe you could just give a little testimony what's been going on here. So,
praise God. Well, I ran from God for 20 years and his call on my life, and we finally, after probably a year, the Lord saying I needed to come to this church. Every time I passed it, we started, and Pastor Dave, three different times actually, said, got up and said, there's somebody here struggling with cigarettes. And every time I said, oh, okay, I'm not going to go now, but if he says it again, then I'll go. And I didn't go, and I ended up getting very sick and being in the hospital with pancreatitis, and for no reason, they couldn't figure it out. And I ended up next door to a lady who had end-stage COPD. And after three nights of hearing this lady struggling to breathe and actually being tied to the bed because her oxygen was so low that she had dementia, she was trying to get out of bed and they had to tie her down. And I just prayed to God. I said, God, you know, I've tried before to quit, and it's so, so hard. And so I'm trying to rededicate my life to you. So if this is going to work, you're going to have to help me. And today makes 107 days since I quit smoking. I feel so much better, my health-wise, energy-wise, mentally-wise. You don't realize what a hold that it has on you. Your whole life revolves around this thing. You know, do I have enough cigarettes? Do I need to buy cigarettes? Oh, do I have an extra pack in my purse? Oh, let's hide the cigarette because somebody from church might see me. You go on, and it's like this chain around you, the shackle that, and praise God, I just asked God, I said, please God, if you just help me with this thing, this one thing, and he took it completely away. From that day to this, I haven't craved a cigarette, and I can't even stand the smell of it now. I mean, it literally almost makes me sick to even smell it. So if you're struggling with that, God is a big God, and he can break that chain. We sing a song about that, break every chain. He can break that chain of cigarettes in your life, just like he did mine. He's an equal opportunity God. Amen?
Yeah. Come on over here. So I'm going to have Deanna stay up here, and if you feel like God's tugging at your heart and you'd like some prayer to break that chain in your life, man, I'm telling you, it is nice to have chains broken. Also, I got a couple of other words. I just got this word that somebody's jaw giving them, you know, you're having a hard time chewing or something, some problem with your jaw. So if that word's for you, we've got people up here. I'd love to pray with you. If you have any other special need, you came this morning carrying a burden, dealing with something at work, you know, these are the times where you can get that personal prayer ministry. So we're going to go into close with a song, and you're invited to come forward if you'd like some prayer.
service this morning. We thank you for coming and look forward to seeing you again next Sunday. Have a blessed week.